Please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 5. Revelation, chapter 5. Today we resume our study of the book of Revelation by looking once again at chapter 5, and we will begin the reading with verse 1. Revelation 5 and verse 1. Before we hear God's word, let's join our hearts together once again in prayer. Our Father and our God, we pray that you would humble us now before your majesty and by your Spirit open our hearts to receive your word, to lay it up in our hearts and practice it in our lives to the praise of your glory. Father, we ask that Christ may be revealed to us through the Holy Scriptures as the Lion of the tribe of Judah who has conquered and as the Lamb who was slain for our transgressions. As our only Savior, our only hope, our only Redeemer, we pray this in his name. Amen. Revelation 5, and beginning in verse 1. Then I saw on the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered, so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals." And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." Then I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen," and the elders fell down and worshiped. This is the word of God. Now this morning, I want to focus our attention on the second half of this chapter, which contains three hymns of praise. These hymns mark the beginning and the end of the reign of Jesus Christ. They celebrate the commencement of his kingdom and the consummation of his kingdom. Christ commenced his reign as the King of the Kingdom of Heaven when he took the scroll from the right hand of the Father. And that event is recorded in the first half of this chapter. John says in verse 1, "Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals." The scroll contains God's plan for the kingdom of heaven, and the time had come for that plan to be executed. And so a search begins for someone who is worthy to open the scroll. Verse 2, a mighty angel proclaims with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" The scroll contains God's plan for the kingdom of heaven, and the one who is worthy to open it is the one who will reign as the king of that kingdom. By breaking the seals and opening the scroll, the king will put into operation God's plan for the coming of his kingdom, which consummates with a new creation, the new heavens, the new earth, and the new Jerusalem. Now, at first, no worthy candidate was found who could open the scroll, and so John began to weep. But one of the 24 elders said to him, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll in its seven seals." Verse 5. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, is this victorious lion. He is the champion warrior who conquered the devil, and he is worthy to take the scroll and to reign as the King of the Kingdom of Heaven at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Christ is heralded here as the victorious Lion of Judah, but when John looks at him, he doesn't see a lion, but a lamb standing as though it had been slain, verse 6, that is, still bearing the wounds of its slaughter. Now, this wound-bearing lamb is the victorious lion. It's the same figure described from two different perspectives. There is the visible earthly perspective, that's what John sees, and there's the invisible heavenly perspective, that's what John hears. So what appears to the eyes of John as a slain lamb is, in the eyes of heaven, a victorious lion. As we noted previously in a previous sermon, the point of this paradox of the lion and the lamb is that Christ conquered, he won the victory, he overthrew Satan, and he did so by means of his sacrificial death as a slaughtered lamb. Being slain, he slew death. He trampled down death by death. He endured death as a lamb. He devoured it as a lion, said Augustine. Now, one unique feature of this lamb is that it has seven horns and seven eyes, which verse 6 tells us are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Now, in Holy Scripture, horns symbolize power, eyes, knowledge, and sevenfoldness. That the lamb has seven horns and seven eyes means that he has all power and all knowledge. And his possession of the fullness of these perfections is linked to him having the fullness of the Holy Spirit, the sevenfold Spirit of God, which the Lamb has sent out into all the earth. Now, one thing to note here is that all three persons of the Holy Trinity are present in this vision. The Father is, of course, the one who is sitting on the throne. The Son is the Lamb, and the Holy Spirit is symbolically depicted as the seven eyes of the Lamb, the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Now, when the Lamb approaches the throne of God and takes the scroll from the right hand of God in verse 7, that marks the beginning of his reign as the King of the Kingdom of Heaven. The transaction of that scroll from God's right hand to the Lamb signals his investiture and his enthronement as the Davidic king. In other words, this is the moment when Christ sat down at the right hand of the Father. It is the commencement of his reign, his millennial reign. Now remember, as we noted before, the Holy of Holies, into which John entered back in chapter 4, verse 1, the Spirit of God took him up through the open door, the door that stood open in heaven. The Holy of Holies is outside of time. And John here in Revelation 5 is witnessing an event that happened some 60 years earlier when Jesus ascended into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. His enthronement at God's right hand is the beginning of his reign as the Davidic king. Now, contrary to what many Christians in our day believe, the millennial reign of Christ is not something that will happen in the future, but it's something that is happening right now. It began on the day of his ascension. That's the day when the Lord said to my Lord, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool," Psalm 110, verse 1. And the Apostle Paul adds in 1 Corinthians 15:25 that Christ, quote, "must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet." That's what Christ is doing now. He's reigning now, and he must continue to reign until all his enemies have been subdued and put under his feet. Now, the commencement of his kingdom, the commencement of his reign as the King of the Kingdom of Heaven, John tells us, here in Revelation 5, was marked by a hymn of praise, a new song sung by the four living creatures and the 24 elders. Verse 8 says, "And when he had taken the scroll, which signals the commencement of his reign," this is an act of investiture. He's invested with the authority as the king to execute God's plan for the coming of his kingdom. He takes his place at the right hand of the Father. "When he had taken the scroll," verse 8, "the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song," which we will look at in just a minute, but let me first comment on verse 8. The four living creatures and the 24 elders are the same angelic beings who were worshiping God back in chapter 4. In chapter 4 of Revelation, they fell down before the one who was sitting on the throne and worshiped him. Here, they fall down before the Lamb, and the same worship that they had given to God, they now give to the Lamb. Now, that testifies to the divine nature of the Lamb. He is fully divine. He is fully God, and the same glory and honor that belongs to the Father, therefore, belongs to him. Now, in a previous sermon, we noted that the 24 elders are the angelic priests of the heavenly temple. Heaven is God's temple. It's his sanctuary. It is the ultimate, the permanent, holy of holies. And the 24 elders are the priests who serve in that heavenly temple. And here we see these 24 elders carrying out a priestly service. They present incense offerings to God. They are holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Now, in Presbyterian worship, we don't see a lot of incense, but worship in heaven is full of it. And that incense is a pleasing aroma to God. But notice what this heavenly incense is made of. It is made from the prayers of the saints. The incense which the 24 elders offer before the throne of God is identified with our prayers, the prayers of the church. The ordinary, faithful, humble prayers of believers on earth appear in the form of sweet-smelling incense in the heavenly temple before the throne of God. Our prayers are counted as incense and are actually presented to God as an incense offering by the 24 elders. The 24 elders, this heavenly priesthood, links the worship on earth with the worship in heaven. They bridge the earthly liturgy and the heavenly liturgy, the worship on earth and the worship in heaven. Whenever we pray on earth, they carry our prayers before the throne of God in the form of heavenly incense, which is a pleasing aroma to God. So our worship is linked to and mingled with the worship of these angels in the heavenly temple. Whenever we worship on earth, we are participating in the worship that goes on without ceasing in God's heavenly sanctuary. Now, we don't see ourselves worshiping in the heavenly temple because that reality is presently veiled from our eyes. But Revelation 5 tells us what's going on behind the scenes in that unseen realm. The elders of the heavenly temple, the elders of this heavenly priesthood, are presenting our prayers to God in the form of heavenly incense. Now, that reality is presently veiled, but it is a reality nonetheless. When our Lord Jesus Christ returns at the end of the world, that veil will be permanently removed, and we will see the unseen realm. And then we will fully understand that we have always participated in the worship of heaven. Now, the new song that was sung by the four living creatures and the 24 elders celebrated the beginning of the reign of Christ as the Davidic king. This is what they sang to Christ when he was enthroned at the right hand of God. Christ ascended into heaven. He sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. When he did, this is the song that the four living creatures and the 24 elders sang to him on that event. Verse 9, "And they sang a new song," saying. It's new, not in the sense of it's the latest hit. but in the sense of belonging to the new era, this new age, the age of the Messiah, the age of the kingdom, the millennial reign of Christ. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." Now, the words of this hymn of praise, this doxology, are directed to the Lamb, and they interpret the meaning of its appearance as a sacrificial victim. The Lamb stands as though it had been slain, still bearing the marks of its slaughter, is none other than the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. His sacrificial death procured the ultimate rescue, the definitive deliverance from slavery to sin and death. The blood of this Passover lamb has ransomed and redeemed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. His work of redemption, in other words, was not for the Jews only, but for all the nations, just as God promised Abraham, through his offspring, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. That promise has been fulfilled. And having redeemed them by his blood, Christ has formed them into a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. Verse 10. So every member of the church of our Lord Jesus Christ belongs to this kingdom and is part of this royal priesthood. And as priests, we serve in the temple of God. We worship before God in his heavenly temple. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ has cleansed us and consecrated us as holy priests so that we may draw near to the throne of God and worship him in the beauty of holiness. But we have also been made a kingdom, and Christ reigns as the king of this kingdom, and we too share in his reign because we are united to him. Notice how it is put in verse 10. You, the angels say to Christ, you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. Now, the reign of the saints on the earth is not something that is only future. Now, I want us to get this as well. The reign of Christ is present, and the reign of the saints on earth is not only future, it is also a present reality, but the present reign of the saints is veiled. It is unseen. It is hidden. In fact, it may look like the saints on earth are not reigning at all, but are being conquered, being defeated. But the book of Revelation teaches us that looks can be deceiving. What may look like a slaughtered lamb may be in reality a victorious lion. The Apocalypse teaches us that the martyrs are the victors. Do you see the paradox? The martyrs are the conquerors. We share now in the reign of Christ, and we do so by suffering with him as his faithful witnesses, being conformed to his image as the lamb standing as though it had been slain. The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ was his throne. He reigned from the cross. And we too, beloved, must be crucified together with him in order to reign with him. Now, St. John tells us that the whole choir of heaven joins in singing this new song to the Lamb. In verse 11, John says, "Then I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands, that is an immense number, hundreds of millions, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing.'" Notice that sevenfold blessing of the Lamb, the seven terms, power, wealth, wisdom, might, honor, glory, and blessing. They ascribe to him this sevenfold blessing because they are giving him the fullness of praise. Now, finally, the heavenly worship in Revelation chapter 5 reaches a thrilling crescendo a climactic grand finale when the circle of worshipers expands to include all creatures in the whole of God's creation, without exception. Verse 13, John says, "And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them." No creature is excluded from this list. This is every creature in the whole of God's creation, ascribing to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the one who sits on the throne praise, universal cosmic praise, saying to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. I remember, as I noted earlier, John is in the Holy of Holies, and the Holy of Holies transcends time. It is outside of time. The first hymn that John heard in this chapter is the hymn that was sung when Christ began his reign as the King of the Kingdom of Heaven. This hymn is the hymn that will be sung when Christ consummates his kingdom at the end of the world. When that happens, you see, they punctuate the beginning and the end of the reign of Christ as the King of the Kingdom. The hymns celebrate the commencement and the consummation of the kingdom of Christ, his reign as the kingdom, the King of the Kingdom of Heaven. This hymn at the end of the chapter is the hymn that will be sung when Christ returns and consummates his kingdom at the end of the world. And notice that the whole cosmos, the whole universe, every creature without exception, will be unified in the worship of God and of the Lamb. Now, this is exactly what the Apostle Paul tells us will happen in Philippians chapter 2. That God highly exalted the Lord Jesus Christ, and he gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow of things in heaven, of things on earth, of things under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That is the end goal of creation. That's the end goal of redemption. That is the telos. That's the final point of all history. Everything is moving toward that one point when the whole of creation will be unified in the praise of God. To him be all praise and glory now and forevermore. Amen.